WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. While candidates blaze a trail in swing states, U.S. security agencies are battling mis- and disinformation aimed at disrupting and interfering with the elections. That includes undermining the integrity of ballots, whether mail-in ballots or at the polls. Jen Easterly is the director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure, or CISA, and says ballots are either tallied by hand or by machine.
Over 97% of registered voters will cast a ballot in jurisdictions where they'll get a paper record that they themselves can verify. That's incredibly important. And you have paper in all of the battleground states.
Easterly says no voting machines in the U.S. are connected to the internet. At least 158 are dead in eastern Spain following historic flooding. Search and rescue continues for those still missing. The Los Angeles Dodgers clinched the World Series title, beating the New York Yankees in a comeback game last night. The victory parade tomorrow in downtown L.A. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. If you want to vote early in Wisconsin but still haven't done it yet, your window is rapidly closing. The final day for in-person early voting in most communities is Friday, unless your municipality offers early voting over the weekend. There will be no in-person early voting anywhere in Wisconsin on Monday to give election workers the time they need to prepare for Election Day. For details on when in-person early voting will be offered in your area, you should check with your local clerk. If you can't vote early over the weekend, you'll have to wait for Tuesday. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is urging residents to sign up for health care coverage when the open enrollment period launches on Friday. In a statement, Governor Evers praised the Affordable Care Act as a game changer for Wisconsin families, which saw over 250,000 residents sign up during the last open enrollment period. Governor Evers has also called for an expansion of Medicaid, claiming it would bring in nearly $2 billion at a crucial time for the health care industry. The open enrollment period will end on January 15th. After collecting nearly 300 submissions and narrowing them down to 10 finalists, it's time for Duluth residents to vote for their favorite in their first-ever snowplow naming contest. Among the 10 finalists are names like Sled Zeppelin, Blizzard Wizard, and Edgar Allan Plow. Residents have until November 4th to vote for their favorite name on the City of Duluth's website, and the winner will be announced on November 11th. The winning name will also be displayed on the snowplow at the Christmas City of the North Parade on November 22nd. A group of Duluth area renters took to City Hall on Wednesday for the unofficial launch of a tenants' union. About 100 members attended the event, calling for improved affordability, livability, and availability of housing in the city. Many complained that in addition to an overall lack of housing stock, much of the housing stock that does exist is far too old and in terrible condition. They also complained of mistreatment and a lack of communication from landlords when problems arise. The union seeks community-led solutions for the housing issues. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A Bucks player cited for speeding. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. Milwaukee Bucks guard Andre Jackson Jr. has been slapped with a speeding violation after crashing his BMW into another car, then into an apartment building at Yankee Hill in downtown Milwaukee over the weekend. At first, the team said it was a single car crash, but the Journal Sentinel discovered a second vehicle was involved. No injuries to the two people in that car. Jackson to pay for damages and the $138 fine. The Bucks are in Memphis to face the Grizzlies tomorrow night. NFL Packers rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper talked about his sack and forced fumble against the Jaguars' Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, it's something we work on a lot, you know, like our defense. That's what we want to do, try to get the ball. Supposed to play is turn to point, so and that's what happened. So that's just our way of thinking.
Matt LaFleur says the rookie gets better every week.
It seems to me that he's developing a better routine. I think Coop's done a better job in that regard.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The rain and snow moves out, clearing and colder tonight with a low in the mid-20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, high upper 40s, but warmer for the weekend, highs into the upper 50s, partly cloudy Saturday, showers and storms developing Saturday night and Sunday. It's 32 degrees.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from Bob's Burgers and Parks and Rec actress Jenny Slate. Then Chicago-based film critic Mariah Gates joins the show to talk noir. All this and the popcorn pick of the week.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can join 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell to introduce to you right now, Dr. Melinda Brennan. She is the Executive Director of the ACLU of Wisconsin. Melinda, welcome to the show. Happy Halloween.
Thanks so much for having me, Dom.
It is my pleasure. Voting, this is, the partisanship. The ACLU of Wisconsin, is this a partisan organization, Melinda?
We are not. We just want everyone to be informed and to be able to cast their vote in a free and fair election.
Excellent. Love that. And you've been doing lots of work in that regard. I had Greg Palast on the show recently. He's been diving into election shenanigans, let's call it, in Georgia. And they have specific laws. Apparently, you can go out and challenge people's votes, their ballot. Anybody could. I don't know the details of it, so I'm not going to get into it, Melinda. But according to the documentary, they're really, really messing up some games there. And it's impacting people's ability to go vote. Now, here in the state of Wisconsin, we don't have that, to my knowledge, yet. But what are we seeing as challenges for folks this time around as they go try to go vote, Melinda?
Well, I think one of the most important pieces of this is about whether or not you have accurate information that you're basing your vote on. So a little piece of the work that we did, we sent out a questionnaire to all of these candidates that we've got because we have new maps. And yep. We wanted to hear what people would say to us that we would be able to use to hold them accountable. And when I say we, I don't just mean the ACLU of Wisconsin. I mean all the people that are voting for them or not. And so we made this survey. We sent it out. We asked about IVF. We asked about abortion. We asked about whether or not people would take a pledge that they would accept election results. Mm-hmm. We asked about LGBTQ rights. We asked about marijuana. We asked about a number of things. You can find it on the website. But what we wanted to do across our platform of issues is we wanted to get in the candidates' own words without us endorsing or opposing anyone. They got to craft what other people would see. And we put their information, just as they gave it to us, directly on our website. So if people are looking for accurate information and have not early voted and they're going to go on election day, we'd ask them to come to the website and get that information so they can make up their own minds. Another piece of the puzzle was we wanted to make sure that we had a voter guide that was updated, and we did that with some coalition partners. We want everyone to be informed about how to be able to vote. And we also did some canvassing as well because we wanted people to know who was operating in the 61st district as well. And that was a wonderful campaign to be a part of as well. But essentially what I'm saying here is we want everyone to be informed. We want everyone to activate, to have the greatest turnout possible. And that's what we're hoping for on Tuesday.
Melinda, if people want to go to the website and check out the responses from the candidates, give them the website address, please.
It is ACLU of Wisconsin. Even if you Google it, and I'm happy to share it with your folks so that you can be posted after this is all done. But ACLU of Wisconsin, if you do that, and if you do a search for our candidate comparison, it'll come right up.
Excellent. Was there any, I'm curious, and I haven't seen it yet, so I will check it out. I'm curious, the question about whether or not the results of this election will be accepted. What was some of the, did you any shocking response to your recollection on that question?
Not at all. What we had hoped for was everyone to answer every single question. But if a candidate decided not to respond, that's recorded as well. Yeah. So it's not so much a shock as a disappointment. I would have loved to have seen every single person stand up and with their chest say, yes, I absolutely will accept the results of a free and fair election. Because if you believe in democracy, I would assume that any candidate who's running for office would believe in democracy and would want every single person who's voting to feel like their vote mattered. Because what are we doing if not otherwise? So no surprises. Just some disappointment from folks not bothering to answer the question or apparently maybe not wanting to be held to account afterwards.
And what about after the election? You know, there's lots of reporting out there, Melinda, about Republicans, you know, laying some groundwork to challenge if Trump loses. And of course, there's also reporting of millions of dollars being on standby for Democrats to challenge and go after and defend the election if Kamala wins. I mean, any shenanigans? What's your sense of what might happen after the election?
If I'm going to be honest, none of us know. What I'll tell you is that the ACLU and the ACLU of Wisconsin, as all affiliates in our federated system, have made plans to make sure that every vote is counted. And so that means election protection is really important. And so all across the country, I believe that folks are paying very close attention to make sure that there is no interference of any kind. And so there's much monitoring. I think we can speculate all we want. What I would ask for is everybody to act right, as I often say, which is the request is just from people to be able to cast their ballots, have them counted, have faith in the system, and that any challenges that happen, which should be incredibly limited because we do not have mass voter fraud. And that's some of the misinformation, I think, that has a chilling effect on democracy. I think a lot of the conversation is based around misinformation. And the fears is and conversations are a lot of posturing. There's not going to be challenges that are legitimate. And so what I would hate to see is I would hate to see many, many challenges across the country that is clogging up our courts, which have important work to do. But I would like to see people still in line and voting all the way out throughout the day with the belief that if they're in line and they stay in line, that they get to vote because that's their right. And so all of that is to say there's a lot of folks all over the political spectrum who are very concerned about challenges of various kinds and not sure exactly when the election is going to be called. We know that depending on what you're talking about in terms of the election, if you're talking about the top of the ticket or Senate races or assembly districts, some of those results were going to come in on election day because the count will be able to be done. But if we're talking about certification, we might be waiting a little bit because most races are awfully close. And that's no different in Wisconsin than it is at the national level.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Dr. Melinda Brennan. She's the executive director at the ACLU of Wisconsin. Abortion rights. You said you talked about abortion and abortion rights and abortion access. What'd you find out? What are people saying? And what's the ACLU's position?
Sure. Well, let me answer that question first about what people are saying. We know that nationwide, not just in Wisconsin, but certainly in Wisconsin, abortion and reproductive rights more generally, that's an important life-saving access to healthcare. It should be all kinds of reproductive healthcare should be readily available. It should not be blocked whatsoever. With the fall of Roe, it landed at the state's level. And so states' rights matter a great deal. That is a major motivating factor and is getting people to the polls. And that's very clear throughout our messaging and the interest in the election, particularly enough that we had to put it in our questions to all the folks that might want to get elected this season. I will say this, you cannot take rights away that have existed for 50 years and not expect an awful lot of people to stand up and with one voice say, this is unacceptable to me. This was not my expectation as a person of reproductive age still. It was not my expectation in my lifetime to lose these rights myself. and I am not alone. With many people, whether they themselves could become pregnant or not, whether they themselves are seeking reproductive health care currently or not, I think one of the most important pieces of this, that it not be limited to sex or gender. There are an awful lot of people in this country, in this state, who care very much whether a person who is pregnant lives or dies. And it is a matter of life or death and life-saving health care. And so I don't know what could be more motivating than wanting to imagine that if you had to make a decision, you could, that would save your life or the life of someone you love. And that's not just limited to whether or not you yourself would be in that bodily position.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would add to that is, either in this country, we believe in bodily autonomy or not. We believe in a lack of governmental interference in our lives or not. And so if you want the free exercise of religion without governmental intervention, then you should too want people to have bodily autonomy. And if those two things don't align for you, that's all right. But you should ask yourself a question about how small do you want government to be that it can be in intimate crevices in your life.
Melinda, some of the stories on the national stage of women dying because they couldn't get access to abortive care are just devastating. You know, Harris talked about them, said their names, and it's more than one. And these are all preventable. And it's as a middle-aged white guy, you know, I feel for my wife, my daughter, my the women in my lives and everybody. It is just, and you hear the stories and the results of this decision is literally killing people. And it's a shame. And I hope that is a motivating factor for many folks. Just a couple of minutes left, Melinda. What I've noticed in some of these political ads are just the anti-LGBTQ ads are just disgusting and dehumanizing. Just a couple of minutes. What are your thoughts on how those have been run?
I completely agree. And what I'll say is this. We know that the ACLU all across our 50 states and 54 affiliates, we've been tracking over 500 bills in the course of the last legislative session. We know the attacks are going to keep coming. And what is particularly troubling to me is the linkage between reproductive health care and anti-trans sentiment. And what I mean by that is, again, bodily autonomy matters. And we know that gender-affirming care is also life-saving, which is not fundamentally different from the life-saving impacts of reproductive health care. And again, either we in this country believe that it is imperative that we care about whether our neighbors, our friends, our lovers, our childhood friends, our coworkers, anyone in your life, someone you would bump into in the grocery store, we either want them to be able to be self-determining beings and live a meaningful life, or we don't. And I don't think we can also say that we care, for example, about children and not have reproductive health care and gender affirming care for children as well. And so I would just say we should resist at any cost taking away rights from people who need them to live.
Amen. Melinda Brennan from the ACLU of Wisconsin, thank you for what you do. Thank you for your efforts and the get out the vote and protecting the vote. This is very important stuff. Folks, you can go to the ACLU-WI.org and find more information there. Melinda, thank you so much. Have a great Halloween and happy election season. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Dom.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvey Show. We're going to come back with some of your calls, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture, but billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture. They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
Hey, makeup. Do I rate?
You absolutely, I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Thank you, Dr. Melinda Brennan, Executive Director of the ACLU of Wisconsin. Go check out their sites. They also, reviewing their Twitter feed, and they have a get out or vote early. They have all sorts of suggestions. They also have a hotline if you have any issues with your voting efforts. The Election Protection Hotline, as the ACLU of Wisconsin puts it, it's 866 Our Vote. So if you're seeking assistance while voting early on Election Day, help is available. That's the Nonpartisan Election Protection Hotline, 866 Our Vote, 866-687-8683. I'll retweet that one out there as well. Love the ACLU, love what they do standing up for folks. 855-752-4842. Dan Schaefer, a Civic Media's political editor, is going to join me at the bottom of the hour. But before we get to that, my friend Holly, a recent caller, sent me a Media Matters link this morning, and it resonates with me. Right-wing radio hosts in Wisconsin and other swing states are priming their audiences for election denial. Oh, hell yeah, they are. With baseless suggestions of non-citizens voting, my bad, illegal ballot harvesting, and manufactured votes, Wisconsin radio host Vicki McKenna and others are telling listeners to reject a Trump loss before all the votes have even been cast. Emma May Weber reporting. The right-wing radio hosts in Wisconsin and also Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania are falsely suggesting election fraud is already taking place in the 2024 election. McKenna has been warning about mass voting by non-citizens as part of the cheat. Other Wisconsin radio hosts such as Dan O'Donnell and Mark Belling, as well as right-wing hosts from other swing states, are further contributing to a flood of misinformation this election cycle, including false claims of voter fraud and a stolen election.
Well, at least they're only doing that in the swing states.
You're right. And it's just ironic how, you know, the Republicans who win their election.
Well, that's free that's and fine, fair
but,
and good.
But the other ones, you know, that's it's fraud if Trump loses.
Yeah.
Right-wing radio has a history of supporting election denialism, including in Wisconsin.
You're kidding.
Don't we know. According to the article here, in 2016 and 2020, right-wing radio hosts helped push skepticism about election security. Ahead of the 2016 election, Rush Limbaugh, remember that guy?
Unfortunately.
Nobody really cares anymore, Rush, criticized early voting and said, "What do you mean elections aren't rigged? Of course they are." In 2020, Philadelphia-based radio host Dom Giordano told listeners that people will break the law to defeat Trump, declaring, "Each day, each hour that goes by, I worry about fraud." In 2020, right-wing media and the Trump campaign focused on dissuading their supporters from voting by mail. That changed for 24, as we know, as Trump and the GOP launched a swap the vote to promote mail-in and early voting. Right-wing hosts are attempting to balance the election denial, often linked to attacks on mail-in voting, with encouraging their conservative listeners to vote early. Don't do it. Do it. Don't do it. I don't know. And in 2020 election, two conservative attorneys who helped formulate the Trump team's attempt to overturn election results with fake electors saw Wisconsin's far-right right-wing radio host as key allies in spreading their bogus theories. Vicki McKenna, Dan O'Donnell, and Mark Belling were each mentioned in texts between Trump lawyers Ken Cheesebro. He's a cheese bro. Don't be a cheese bro. And Jim Troupis. Since then, the hosts have continued spreading election misinformation. Broadcasting from the RNC in Milwaukee earlier this year, WISN radio host Vicki suggested Democrats will steal the election.
Huh.
McKenna complained that liberals and the media, quote, say it's the Republicans who want to steal the election. They want to cancel elections after they steal an election. I know, it's absolutely rich. It's called projection in psychology terms. It's classic projection. You know, it's the same thing I say about you, Vicki. I mean, who is projecting here? And who actually tried to overturn the last election?
Let's think about that.
That was your crew.
That's right, it was.
That was Cheesebro and Troupis with your help. McKenna said that Trump's win in 2024 depends on whether or not we'll get ahead enough of the cheat. She said, if elections were held today because the cheat's not established yet, the fraud is not in place, Trump would win. He'd win. Will he win on election day? Question mark. That all depends on whether or not we'll get ahead enough of the cheat.
Now, does that mean getting ahead as in, like, you know, starting to cheat before they cheat? Because they're going to cheat, so we need to get ahead of them in the cheating, and then they won't cheat because we're cheating, but we're not cheating because they're cheating.
So much cheating going on. There's a lot here at the mediamatters.org. You can find it here, and we'll put this on
the show notes
as well.
Find that at civicmedia.us/shows.
There we go. WISN radio host Dan O'Donnell said, quote, there is a finite number of ballots that can be reasonably manufactured or in some way fraudulently delivered and cast. I call that fraud margin. Encouraging his conservative listeners to cast their ballots early, O'Donnell estimated that the fraud margin is 1% of the total vote and advised listeners to just assume Democrats are going to be able to manufacture that many.
Huh.
The fraud margin. He's O'Donnell's.
I keep hearing frog.
O'Donnell, pardon me. O'Donnell said the Wisconsin Election Commission, I am told by multiple sources, has not adequately trained poll workers on how to spot a non-citizen's ID.
False.
I'm not going to lie to you and say that there is going to be a massive epidemic of non-citizen voting in election, but there very well could be. Dude said this, what, on the 22nd, like just over a week ago. Ranting about fraudulent voter registrations reported in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, O'Donnell assured his listeners that the Trump campaign won't make the same mistake they did in 2020 and just assume that Democrats are going to run an election fairly. Quote, I can guess which political party this would have benefited, O'Donnell said. Yeah, but they did a bunch in Michigan, I think the last election cycle, a bunch of folks put in fraudulent, you know, registrations and they filled them out illegally. Yeah, that happened. I think those were Republicans they were working for. I can guess which political party this would have benefited, but lest you think that Republicans in the Trump campaign are going to make the same mistakes they did in 2020 and just assume they're going to run a fair election, do everything on the up and up, they are not. They understand that you need to be watching for every possible trick in the book. And they go on to Mark Belling as well. There's more from Arizona. I mean, this is all over the place. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we got like 1,800 different election folks. It'd be one hell of a conspiracy to try to make that happen. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, going to join me next.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Rice Lake man accused of evading police during a high-speed chase has been located and charged. According to the Barron County Sheriff's Office, 21-year-old Logan Olson of Rice Lake was charged with fleeing an officer, recklessly endangering safety, operating with a revoked license, and bail jumping on Monday. The chase started when a Barron County officer attempted to stop the motorcycle being driven by Olson when he fled. He allegedly reached speeds of 90 miles per hour and escaped by driving on a walking trail where police could not follow. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has asked the state Supreme Court to decide if the state legislature should release $50 million for the Act 20 reading bill. The legislation would develop an Office of Literacy to identify and implement literacy testing and curriculum. Governor Tony Evers used line item vetoes to cut parts of the bill, which Republican legislators called unconstitutional. A Dane County Circuit Court judge ruled that Governor Evers used the authority properly in August, but rejected the request to force the release of funding. A homeless shelter in Duluth has announced a planned expansion of their facility with an increase in the number of people experiencing homelessness. Chum officials say work to expand their Duluth facility will begin in the spring of 2025, allowing the shelter to open more beds and space and provide more services for people who are struggling. When originally built, the facility was meant to hold about 30 people. Now officials report they're seeing 100 people a day, and many are being forced to sleep on the floor of the shelter due to overcrowding. The Superior School Board held its budget meeting on Wednesday, discussing the future of the district with a massive referendum on the ballot next week. The school board was supposed to finalize their budget proposal this week, but with a five-year referendum on the ballot, they approved two versions of the budget to cover whether the referendum passes or fails. The district is facing a $2.5 million deficit for the next school year and has already needed to make significant cuts, including permanently closing a school to remain operational. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Star of many hit movies, Terry Garr has passed away at the age of 79. Garr starred in films like Tootsie, Young Frankenstein, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, After Hours, and Mr. Mom. Most recently, she played Phoebe Buffay's mother on Friends. Garr was a staple on the late-night talk show circuit and has always made the hosts laugh. The Oscar-nominated actress passed away after a long battle with multiple sclerosis. She was diagnosed with the disease in 2002. Speaking of Friends, Lisa Kudrow, the actress who played Phoebe Buffay on the hit sitcom, spoke of Garr's influence and abilities, saying Terry Garr was a comedic genius and was a huge influence on Kudrow, adding that she was grateful for the opportunity to work with Garr. In addition to all her acting credits and awards, Terry Garr also starred in six movies with Elvis Presley, including Viva Las Vegas. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, P. Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The rain and snow moves out, clearing and colder tonight with a low in the mid-20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, high upper 40s, but warmer for the weekend, highs into the upper 50s, partly cloudy Saturday, showers and storms developing Saturday night and Sunday. It's 32 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories, and in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll be live from Fox City Stadium, the home of the Timber Rattlers, with Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project, your calls and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jazzed as hell to introduce Dan Schaefer. He's Civic Media's own political editor, friend of ours. Hey, Dan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Dom. Always a treat to join you.
Yeah,
on the show,
man, it's so much fun. I had the opportunity, Dan, to see you at work at the Vivarium in Milwaukee. You were on stage with comedian Charlie Behrens. He was a moderator and you were on stage with a fellow broadcaster, I believe a conservative, Scafidi from WTMJ. I had a great time. It was an interesting conversation. The crowd was into it. How did this all come about? I didn't know the format, what was going to be when I got there. So I was kind of blown away. Dan, how did this all come about?
Yeah, so Charlie Behrens does the Cripes Cast, which is part of the larger Civic Media Network, and he's been doing a couple events to, you know, kind of pro democracy types of events.
Yeah.
In the run up to the election here, he held an event, I believe it was last week or week before, in Madison, and then a couple of days ago here in Milwaukee, and I had the opportunity to join him on stage and, you know, make a couple Midwest jokes, have a good time, but really dig into, you know, what's going on with this election in Wisconsin, and trying to, you know, promote an environment where we can continue having some respectful conversations. And like you mentioned, Steve Scafidi was there. Steve and I used to be on a regular on Steve's show before I joined the Civic Media Network here. And we always talk about how we can disagree without being disagreeable.
Yeah.
And I think that is, you know, that is something that we need more of, I think, in this political environment. We're all on edge now. You know, it's less than a week till election day. It's a very tense and nauseating time period at the moment right now. But I think it is always really important to just have a dialogue that can maintain some basic level of respect for people who might not think like you do.
And I absolutely agree with that. But on the other side of that, Dan, if I may, respect is earned. You know what I'm saying? It's not given. Yeah. And I'll give anyone the benefit of the doubt when you start a conversation. But, you know, there are some lines that I think need pushback. You talk about this comedian, quote unquote, that was at the Trump rally, you know, making terrible racist jokes. I mean, what's the proper way to civically engage somebody like that? Or do you just walk away?
Yeah, I think, you know, I encounter this a lot on social media. I'm a pretty active Twitter user. Yeah. And I think and I will get into it with the best of them.
Sure.
on issues, on candidates, on where things are going, on big ideas. But if the conversation ever turns personal, that's when I just kind of drop out. And I think that is, you know, thinking about the comedian and not just the comedian at the Trump rally at Madison Square Garden over the weekend, but so many of the comments were just personal and hurtful and targeted at, you know, specific disadvantaged groups or minority groups or whatever it might be. And that is where if that's not disagreeing without being disagreeable, that's just being a jerk. That's just being awful to your fellow human beings. So that is certainly not the type of dialogue that we should be promoting and really in any way. And it is something that, you know, we see Republicans are able to get away with all the time. You know, we had this kind of dust up over the past couple of days about, you know, kind of a Biden gaffe with, you know, referring to garbage. We saw Donald Trump Biden was clearly referring to that one individual supporter's comments as garbage. But we saw, you know, the Trump campaign grab hold of it. He was driving around Green Bay in a garbage truck at the rally last night.
Had a little trouble getting into the truck from the video I saw, but please continue.
Yeah, there was that too. But I also think it's like, you know, the way Republicans talk about Democrats is a way that Democrats would never be able to get away with. And, you know, talking about how people are scum or talking, you know, using these unbelievably derogatory terms towards Democrats. And, you know, there was clips of Trump calling Democrats garbage in the weeks prior. And that just doesn't get any attention because we just hold Trump to a different standard than any other politician for whatever reason.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media, is a political editor joining me. I hold them all accountable, Dan. You know, I hear it. You know, and I think certainly there's some on the left and the right. I mean, I can go off with the best of them, Dan. You know, if we're going to get to it, right, we can do that. We're FCC compliant, and I want to be civil. But if it came down to it, I think I could stand up with the best of them. But that doesn't move the needle anyway, right? What do we want as a society? I think this is the basic premise that we're struggling with as a people. Do we want to move forward, or do we want to go backwards? You know, is it for progress, or do we? Is there some security in the old times? And I think when people reflect on what they think the past is, it's not necessarily what they think it is. So if we can't, if we're going to hold each other to a higher standard, then our conversation has to, that's how we do it. It lifts us up. We have one candidate right now in Donald Trump who says that he's going to protect women whether they want it or not.
Ew.
That's just the grievance of today, Dan. And then we see that kind of statement from the top of the ticket. And then we see the ads locally and nationally, Dan, just terrible ads ripping on LGBTQ people. You know, and I'm just wondering, these aren't positive. These aren't uniting ads. They're dehumanizing groups of people. Well, what's your sense on how the political ads have been so very specifically, I think, anti-LGBTQ?
Yeah, they've been vicious. Yeah. And I really, I have young kids. I watch, when I'm watching the Packer game with my kids, I have my finger on the mute button when it goes to commercial because I don't want to, them exposed to that type of negativity, that type of transphobia, has often been, if the Republicans think that they're going to win this election based on the economy, why are they running so many ads that are attacking trans people, that are attacking people in the LGBT community, and particularly the race, the Senate race.
Yeah.
It seems like they're not exactly being all that subtle in their criticism of the first openly gay woman to sit in the U.S. Senate. It's really frustrating. And, I wonder if these ads will serve as some sort of a time capsule. We look back at how ugly this campaign is. And thinking back to 2 years ago, as well, some of the same people funding the incredibly racist ads attacking Mandela Barnes are also funding some of the incredibly anti-LGBTQ ads directed at Tammy Baldwin. Those coming from the Uline family, more often than not, and the super PACs that they fund.
Yeah.
And I think, the last data that I saw on how much they have been pumping into this election, the owners of the Wisconsin-based Uline company, I think it's north of $125 million. And a lot of that has been specifically geared to the Baldwin race. And it's really, really ugly politics. Something I think we need to get away from.
Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media, and throw in Adelson and some of the others. Some of the reporting was like $225 million. That was like in a 3-month period. And of course, it's more than I'm seeing upwards of $500 million by, some of these just very rich people. It's a stunning amount of money. Talking about the Senate race here in the state of Wisconsin, we had Charles Franklin on earlier. Craig Gilbert at the Journal Sentinel wondering with the tightening race if this could actually be a split Senate and president. Tammy, the race is tightening. Tammy's still up, but within the margin of error, as is Harris. What's your sense? Do you think that something like that could happen? We could split that?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. I wrote a breakdown at the Recombobulation area about the latest results of the Marquette University's law school poll as well. The race is incredibly tight. Harris up 1, Baldwin up 2. The margin of error is 4. So everything could really go in either direction. And I think it is possible to see a split ticket. I think that's more likely in a midterm year that you see some of those split ticket votings. I think in a presidential year, you so often do have people voting a little bit more straight ticket. And I think it's an important thing to recognize, too, that you know, just how close this is. Like, anybody who says they know Harris is going to win, or no, Tammy Baldwin's going to win, no, Donald Trump's going to win, no, Eric Hovde's going to win, that's ridiculous. Like, these, it's so close. Things could obviously go in either direction. And I think the, you know, the Senate race has tightened, but as I noted in the breakdown, Eric Hovde has not led a single Marquette University
right.
law school poll.
Right.
He's led other polls. He's had like a, maybe a 1-point lead here and there. And so there's a lot of polling in this race. There's a lot of polling in Wisconsin in general, but he has not led in this. And so I do wonder if what's happening right now is just a result of the insane amount of spending that there has been over the last month on this race that has dragged down Tammy Baldwin's favorability rating a little bit, has tightened the race, and, you know, as Republicans have outspent Democrats in this final stretch. But I do wonder if this is going to be a situation like the gubernatorial race in Wisconsin 2 years ago, where, you know, people recognize Tammy Baldwin as an incumbent who they largely are in favor of, similar to how they recognize Tony Evers as an incumbent who they largely have been in favor of as well. You know, one of the, I went back to take a look at the final poll of that race, and that saw something similar, where there was a ton of negative advertising directed at the governor. His favorability rating went down right before the election, but he still ended up winning by 3.5%. I do wonder if that's going to be, yeah, if the results in the Senate race are going to mirror a little bit of what happened in that governor's race 2 years ago.
Keep your fingers crossed, Jess. What about the new voters, Dan? My daughter's 19. She's their first election, a presidential election cycle. I don't know that they're very getting represented in these polls whatsoever. And my understanding that those kids, they're kind of fired up right now, especially the young women. Do you think that's going to have a greater impact than perhaps the polls are indicating?
I do. I think enthusiasm is really high across the board. And I think enthusiasm can often translate to turnout. And I think you take a look at the polling for the 18 to 29 year old generation within the Marquette poll here, you know, there is a pretty big gender gap, pretty big gender divide, where women of that generation favor Harris by somewhere in like the 35% to 40% range. And for men, it's pretty split. And I think that's one of the things that we see, you know, in Wisconsin, regardless of age group, there's one age group that really stands out as having the biggest gap. And maybe we can get into that after the break here. But I think young voters, particularly young women, I do think that factor is being discounted in this election and the first presidential election since Roe v. Wade was overturned. And I think particularly college educated women lean towards Harris by huge, huge margins. College educated women lean Harris by 36 point margin.
Wow.
In that Marquette poll. So yeah. I think that is a trend that is just too significant to overlook here.
Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media, going to stick around for one more segment. We'll take your calls as well, 855-752-4842. Dan, what really shocked me was the evangelical lean towards Trump. I mean, they love themselves some sinners, don't they? I mean, how do you explain that?
that's been the trend. You know, Republicans, evangelical voters side with Republicans. They were a little bit wishy-washy maybe about Trump in 2016. Not so much anymore. They're all in on the Donald at this point.
They are all in. Love the sinner, hate the sin, I guess. So he gets a pass. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. That is Dan Schaefer, political editor over at Civic Media. We're going to stick around and take your calls, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Real quick, raise your hand if you want to lose an additional 4 bands a year. Go ahead and put your hands up. You voted for Kamala Harris. Oh, okay. My fault. Good, because I don't think people understand that voting for Trump means you will lose an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year.
If Trump is elected, he plans to add a 60% tariff on all imports from China. Anything in your house that says made in China, take the price that you paid for and add 60%. He plans to add a 20% tariff on all imports coming from every other country. With Kamala Harris's opportunity economy, she's not hitting you with the sales tax of doom. She's providing tax cuts to the middle and working class, so that means you will save an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. Plus the $25,000 she's literally handing to new homebuyers, like, you know who to vote for in this November's election. It's Kamala Harris. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th starting at 6 p.m. on 107.5 WLAK and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. I think the phones might be down, but the texting still works, 855-75-CIVIC. You got something to say, try the text line. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's own political editor, sticking around for one more segment. Thank you for doing so, Dan. Always fun to talk to you. Hey, what's your... couple of questions for you. When do you think we'll actually know who wins the presidential? What day? You know, when you think that's going to happen? And then what happens after? Like, what are you mentally prepared for? Regardless of who wins, I can't imagine it's going to be a done deal and no court cases. You know, if 2020 was any indication, what's your sense?
Yeah, I think the results of the election, we're not going to know, I think, early in the night on November 5th. I think because of the way that the state legislature has allowed for Milwaukee to count its ballots, we're going to be getting another one of those quote unquote late night ballot dumps in the city.
I love how you put that, has allowed. They had that. I mean, with the legislation, yeah. They had an opportunity to address this. I almost feel like they want to be able to talk about the Milwaukee late night ballot drops. I mean, you could have done this. You could have done something. Have them start counting earlier. We wouldn't even have that consideration, but they chose not to, Dan.
Yeah. And they actually, Republicans actually introduced and passed a bill that, had bipartisan support in the state assembly. I did a segment on this for our voter special at Civic Media last week. There's a segment on the late night ballot dump at the recombobulation area that you can check out as well.
Yeah.
But there was an effort to change this process that has been the source of so many conspiracy theories over the past few years. And it would have allowed clerks to begin processing absentee ballots. That includes all of those ballots that people are casting these last couple of weeks with the early vote. And it would have allowed clerks to process them the Monday before Election Day. Right now, they're not allowed to open and process any of them until the morning of Election Day. There's actually only two states that don't allow clerks to process absentee ballots until Election Day. And those are Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. Of course, the two most closely contested swing states where so much is riding on the electoral votes from those states. So we're not going to know the elections and results until probably the next day. And then, you know, really, who knows from there based on how close it will be.
So this could be addressed. It could have been addressed by legislation and by law right now. So that's why we get the holdup. They cannot process those ballots until day of. So they can't get ahead of it. So what happens then during that day? In the morning, do they start immediately or do they deal with the people that are actually voting that day first? I mean, how's that process work, Dan?
Yeah, so in Milwaukee, they have what's called central count. And in, you know, some other municipalities do it differently where they count the ballots at each individual polling location. That's a little bit hard to do to staff up for in Milwaukee and have people, you know, in a very large city. So they will count it all at the Baird Center, the convention center in downtown Milwaukee. And yeah, they will have people opening and processing those ballots beginning 7 a.m. on election day and going however long it takes. When I talked to Paulina Gutierrez, the new head of the Milwaukee Elections Commission, and this was a couple of weeks ago, she estimated that there would be about 80,000 absentee ballots cast in the city of Milwaukee by election day. So those would be sitting waiting to be processed. Well, I think they're already at about 80,000 absentee ballots that have come through the early vote in the city of Milwaukee. So wow. I would expect that to go north of that. I saw some of the reporting out there from some of the local TV news stations in and around Milwaukee today estimated that process might, you know, be even further late into the night, 1, 2 a.m. Who knows exactly when that's going to be. But, you know, it's important for all of us to recognize that you're going to have, you know, somewhere in the range of 80, 90,000, maybe 100,000 absentee ballots that will be reported all at once on election day. And, right. You know, 80,000 people, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of voters in Wisconsin. That's always a big margin for Democrats coming out of the city of Milwaukee.
Right.
So
yeah.
When that, you know, I think the way that, you know, Scott Krug, the Republican who wanted to reform this process, told it to me, he said, you know, people went to bed thinking one candidate was winning and woke up with another candidate winning. And that really frustrated a whole lot of people. And it's really unfortunate that Republicans in the state Senate, not in the state assembly actually passed it, but in the state Senate, Republican Dan Knodel, who was the head of the elections committee, he didn't even allow a committee vote on that bill, even though it passed with bipartisan support in the assembly. Very
wow.
Frustrating.
That is super frustrating. Yeah. But
so
again,
that's why we'll have another late night.
That's why you gotta stay up for the whole game. I've got a couple of callers that have been patient here, Dan. Let's get to them. Jack from the Mac, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, Rojo, your friend and mine, he's been on the Devil's Advocates more than once.
Yeah.
As already said, Democrats are cheating in this election.
What?
And they just flat out said it with no evidence whatsoever.
I can't believe it, but of course it's par for the course. Wisco Paul, I can give you 30 seconds, my friend. What do you got?
I can do it in 30 seconds. Good afternoon, Don. Hey, I haven't seen enthusiasm in and around Dane County or Madison like this since Obama. It's, you can feel it in the air here, so that's a good thing. So have a great night,
all right. Thank you, Paulie. Yeah, Dan, you know, Harris was in town in Madison yesterday. She's going to be in Milwaukee tomorrow as well. Donald Trump. I mean, they're paying attention to Milwaukee. Final thoughts, sir.
Get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. Leave it all on the field. Get involved. Go vote. You know, be ready for Tuesday.
All right. Thank you, Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media. Thank you, Charles Franklin. Thank you, Melinda Brennan from the ACLU. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great night.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, heading into the final weekend of the campaign with our guests Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Kia Vakil, Dan Schumacher, and the weekend forecast.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK